Inseparable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.
Welcome back to all our admirable friends.
Yes, welcome. How's everybody doing tonight?
I was just thinking, it seemed like ages since last Tuesday. Like, there seems like a lot of life has been lived from last Tuesday night to tonight. Is that weird? I don't know.
Why so much?
I don't know. I don't know what that's all about. It just feels that way. It just seems like it's been a long time since I've been with admirable friends.
Well, it's good to be here.
It is.
Oh, no, I know why, because you didn't go Thursday night to
I didn't get
our
Thursday night
physical
injection.
Gathering.
Yes, that's
right.
It. Good call.
Yeah. So, we got guests on tonight.
We do. This is pretty exciting stuff.
It is, and one of our favorite topics is goodwill.
Yes.
And, of course, it's hostility and goodwill, because we usually take the...
The opposing mind quality.
Yeah, the opposing mind quality. The unwanted emotion.
Yes.
Hostility. Of course, there's all kinds of ranges of hostility, but
we're going to discuss that too.
We're going to go to the opposite end and say goodwill on one side and hostility on the other.
Right.
Okay.
But it's kind of cool because we get to talk about and do a little bit of teaching about the mind quality as far as goodwill and hostility, and then we get to have this open discussion where we're all just
about that same mind quality.
So that's a great thing about it.
I know, because a couple of callers or a couple of listeners mentioned that they don't want us to change the format, but we told them we just can't keep talking, you and I. We've got to bring other material in here.
And I think it's good to have that perspective of other admirable friends that can converse on the topics and break it down like we try to break it down. And, of course, we're not complete. We miss some things that...
Well, and Tom was so great last week that a lot of people told me they were able to relate to Tom.
Yes.
You know, his story was compelling and understandable, and it's great. So everyone gets a chance to hear it from somebody else, the way they approach their life, how they look at reliable happiness, how they look at admirable friends. So I'm looking forward to tonight's show for
me. All right, well, let's get started then.
But we always, since we're just, you know, at the early stages of admirable friend developing it, we always welcome comments on how the show's going.
Oh, absolutely. We can't grow and learn and change and...
How do they contact us, Carol?
Are you goofing on me? I'm not going to do it now.
Hello at admirablefriends.org.
Hello at admirablefriends.org.
So let's start the show as we usually do. You want to start with your gratitudes?
I do. I want to start with my gratitudes. I was thinking that because it's the start of the school week and everything, and everything is just hustling and bustling and everybody is... kind of into their own thing going on at school. But I find that there have been graduate students that have stopped by my office to just say, you know, welcome back, or it's nice to see you, or how's it going? And so I'm really grateful that they took the time out of their day, because I know what their busy schedule and their life is like as an incoming graduate student can be like. And I just was really grateful that they made, because they brightened my day. It made the world a difference to my day.
Nice. I'm grateful for you tonight. Yeah, I'm grateful for... Actually, I want to go deep into some of the past. That I know there's been times where we talk in the morning and you're a great listener. You allow me to to do a memory dump of my practice. And I know there are times that you prefer not. You prefer to talk. But you actually go out of your way to listen. I recognize that, and I'm just so grateful that I have you there in the morning to talk to.
Oh, that is so sweet. Yeah. I'm blushing.
Well, that's what I'm grateful for today. Those actions are not unnoticed, and it makes me a better listener because I feel like when I see you do that, that's teaching me that I should be listening to others, and passing that down is the way to kind of pay my debt back to you, is to be good listeners to others.
Nice. So, well, thank you.
In any case, let's try to go over the overview before we introduce our guests. As we said, it's on hostility and goodwill.
Right.
But let's in particular discuss the goodwill side. I think we know the degrees of unwanted emotion and defining what hostility or maybe what leads up to hostility. But goodwill is a new term, and we discussed this now, which would be about 10 weeks ago, in our first cycle, goodwill. But one element of goodwill first of all, the whole practice of being an admirable friend and kind of practicing for reliable happiness is an act of goodwill. Because every time we train our mind and we work on ourselves, we're actually helping others. Because the definition of goodwill is the skillful desire for us and or others to find and act upon the causes of reliable happiness.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about it, just taking up this charter and working on the 10 ideal mind qualities is in itself an act of goodwill, in as much as it's helping us, but it's also helping others, because to the extent that we help us calm our minds down, learn to be more discerning, develop all the qualities of generosity, equanimity, as we go through the whole 10 ideal mind qualities, we are indirectly helping others, because we're causing less stress in other people's lives.
Right. We're not bringing any kind of burden or stress to their lives. And so that's a plus.
So the sheer act of actually practicing is an act of goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
What other little dimension of goodwill can you add?
Well, one point that I remember bringing out when we did it the first time was goodwill doesn't necessarily mean it's a friendship relationship.
Yeah.
You don't have to just exhibit acts of goodwill to friends. You can exhibit an act of goodwill towards a stranger. You don't have to have a love affair or a deep connection with somebody in order to wish them well, that they find reliable happiness in their own life.
So it's something that we wish without any restraint. It just goes to everywhere.
Sure. It's just like
no limitations.
It's a kind of global
attitude.
Blanket.
Yeah. And it's not to be confused with friendship.
Correct.
Because you're really wishing for others to act, to find and act upon the causes for themselves to be reliably mm-hmm. happy.
They can be total strangers.
That's correct. Well, the one dimension I'd like to cover is the fact that it's a strategy. And it is in the wisdom category.
I was going to mention that.
Yeah,
I'm glad you got that
out. It comes right after discernment. And a lot of times you think of goodwill, you think of it kind of like a compassionate side. It's the softer side. But it's actually a strategy. Strategy why? Because what we do is we recognize that it is against our better interest. Well, first of all, you respect that others care as much about themselves as you do care about yourself. So when you look at that strategically, then you would obviously wish them goodwill, because if they care as much about themselves as you care about yourself, and you do anything for ill will towards them or cause them harm in any way, it could only come back to you. Just imagine if you were somebody was causing you harm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's that tendency to want to strike back. So in order to create harmony, you have to treat others, you have to respect that they care as much about themselves as you care about yourself. So it's a good strategy.
It is a good strategy. I'm glad you brought up the wisdom, that it's part of the wisdom category.
Yes.
In the mind, ideal mind qualities.
Let's see, we talked about it's not just a wish that somebody kind of lands on happiness, that they just find it, it drops on their front door, right?
Right, because you can't just wish that they find reliable happiness. It's like getting struck by a bolt of lightning. It's actually an action. It's an action verb kind of thing.
So that they find out what actions are necessary to make them
happen. It's going to lead them to find it themselves.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Clearly, it's a statement of personal responsibility. You discussed the issue of it being not a friendship.
And the non-harming part of goodwill is you wish happiness on them. You can't, it's not wishing for ill will. It's for them to find reliable happiness and a road to.
Yeah. You know, and as we get to the natural as we get to the emotional side, we'll find that goodwill is a natural antidote to ill will. Right? So when you're finding yourself in that mind state where you're feeling either angry or not happy, let's say, with someone else, when you can kind of flip yourself into ill will, I mean to goodwill, you can kind of immediately negate that ill will.
Right. Well, I think I've said before, when you open your heart, it's hard to close it down. You can't do that. You can't have both at the same time. So it makes no sense to, and to what end? I mean, what's that going to get you?
That's correct. Hey, Carol, one thing I want to make a mention to everybody is that instant chat that we still have online.
Oh, right.
They can still chat even during our interview and discussion or conversation today. Feel free to chat us at bbsradio.com. /admirablefriends will be that chat to instantly chat while we're communicating. And lastly, like all the mind qualities, stress is our teacher is an interesting topic, right?
Right.
So
you know, and I find, and you ask this question all the time, whether it's in a group setting or whatever, you know, you ask the question, how many would agree that we learn from our mistakes, and people raise their hand, and how many agree that we have stress in our lives, and then what's the last one you say? How many would agree that we learn?
Stress is our teacher.
Stress is our teacher, and everybody has that look like, no, not that one.
But if you think about it, when we're living day to day and we're dealing with the unwanted emotions and we're feeling the stress associated with them, that is a good call for using goodwill right then and there.
It is, and self-examination on part of that by asking some questions like, how do we tend to cause harm to ourselves and to others? Is it through our words or our actions, our thoughts? All that plays a part in the strategy on goodwill. But isn't that part of discernment as well? Those questions?
I mean, yes, because you have to choose. Well, just take your example of the quality of friendship versus goodwill. It's not necessarily goodwill. Well, you have to be discerning as to who's your friend and from an admirable friendship standpoint. But you don't necessarily have to discern when it comes to goodwill, because it's something you would wish
to like
own.
A universal
it's
wish.
It's a universal gift. Yeah. And that's what makes it so powerful, is because it has no limits. So it gives us that opportunity to unconditionally love, so to speak, and tap that part of us that we're all capable of having no ill will. Mm-hmm. Just throw it out there. Of course, you start with yourself and you work towards your family and the ones you love and kind of push the envelope. It's hard for some of us to push it all the way towards our enemies, but it's a practice like everything else we work on here. You know, you
kind of like a vulnerability thing too. You know, you kind of test it out on yourself, but then when you put it out there to people you think you don't quite know and how will they react or something like that, it's a vulnerable feeling.
Is that what you feel?
I don't know. I'm gonna mull that over a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a good question to ask
Do you find yourself wishing goodwill for people you don't like? Is that part of your practice?
Oh, you know, I very rarely
I know you don't have many bad feelings.
Say that I don't like somebody. But, you know, say for instance, you know, someone out in the road, you know, driving or whatever, and, you know, they'll cut you off or they'll they'll do something in a kind of aggressive way, whether they're driving or whatever. I mean, and you guys always make fun of me. Like, if we're at a four-way stop or somebody wants to go, it's like, if you want to go, go. You know, that's sort of like my goodwill thing. That's like, go ahead. I'm not going to stop you, and I certainly don't have any axe to grind by keeping you at the stop sign 2 seconds longer than you need to.
Right.
So it's sort of like one of those, you want to go, go. I
do
hope you just, wherever,
sit,
wherever
do
you
do sit there and
to
say,
go.
I hope that person finds happiness and doesn't, finds an axe upon.
I hope whatever's aggravating them or creating them to make such a rush that could possibly get them to an accident, I hope it gets resolved. It's
so
just dangerous to them and others, for sure. But we have no idea what goes on. I mean, I think I tell the boys many times, or even you, you don't know. They could be racing to the hospital. They could be, you know, something could be going on that we're not even privy to. So we have no idea. So to let it go and wish them well on their journey.
There's many ways to let go. Like you say, you can just come at it from the standpoint that I don't know why they're in a rush. We really don't know why. Then you can let it go.
And there could be a million reasons. Does it matter? Just all you know is that the act happened, and just let it go from there.
I find that goodwill is good each day to start your day with goodwill. Goodwill and gratitude is a good way to start the day. It kind of sets the tone that taps the better side of us.
It's kind of cool because that goodwill part is those little random acts of kindness that you see going on all the time, or that you experience, either you perform for somebody else, and whether it has the reaction of a smile or just kind of one of these, that's thank you very much kind of things. It's very gratifying.
Okay, well, that sets the tone for goodwill. I think we've covered pretty much the general topic. There's a handout for everybody to read through the details in their own practice for goodwill, because there's just like all of the 10 mind qualities, when you get into it, there's quite a bit there.
A handout, so, how do they find the handout?
They go to bbsradio.com/admirablefriends, or they can go to admirablefriends.org and get a free sign up, a free membership, which they'll have access to the entire curriculum. Okay, so let's shift gears now to introducing our guests. And Carol, you're going to become a guest to that show, right? So you're going to be one of the three.
Round table discussion.
So I've become the interviewer today, or the moderator, of the discussion.
The facilitator, whatever.
Hopefully not occupying the discussion, but actually moderating.
Well, now it's 3v1, so look.
So let's welcome Gabby. Hi, Gabby.
Hi.
Welcome to Admirable Friends.
Thank you.
It's so good to have you here. AJ?
Good evening.
Welcome to Admirable Friends. And Carol, we've already welcomed you.
Yes.
So we've got three guests. And what I'm going to throw out there to start the conversation, or should we say shift the conversation, I guess we can't let AJ and Gabby off the hook. We're going to ask them for their gratitudes to start. But what are you guys grateful for today?
What would you say, Gabby?
Well, I'm grateful for my children. And I know everybody says, everybody says that, but this week just seemed a little bit more special. But not because they're going back to school, which makes it more grateful,
yes.
But just seeing gratefulness in their eyes and just them giving me a purpose for every day. That's what I'm grateful for. They give me a purpose.
And how old are your children?
10. I have a teenager who's 13, a 10-year-old, and a 3-year-old.
Wow. So they're all gone to school?
Yes.
Being a little 3-year-old, you let go?
Yes.
That's nice. Carol, remember those days?
I do.
It's a tear in your eye.
I used to have a tear in my eye because I used to feel like I had them all summer long. They were like, I had them to mold and do stuff with, and then when I saw that bus leave, it was just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So,
that's great.
It was worth it.
Yeah. Well, I guess as far as what I'm grateful for, I tried to make a distinction between what I was grateful for and what I appreciated. I looked into my profession or my livelihood, which is in the creative field. I do appreciate that, but what I'm more grateful of is for the people that helped me get to realize and enjoy my job as much as I do now, whether it be my mentors through my education or even my classmates and colleagues, as they, you know, brought the best out of me because, you know, I was always trying to stay on their level. And because of that, it, you know, it pushed me forward. And mm-hmm. for that, I am grateful, because the end result of that is me doing something I truly enjoy.
I think that's interesting how you separate appreciation for gratitude or grateful. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, you know, most of it was kind of in discussions with you saying that may not be, you know, what a gratitude is, or what we would, under the admirable friends term, what we would necessarily call what one was grateful for. So I wanted to have a little bit of more depth other than what I looked at as something just appreciative, like I love my job,
yeah.
which maybe is just a surface appreciation.
But now, when you're grateful, like for the people that helped you get to where you are, does that bring with it a sense of obligation, or that you have to return the favor in some way?
I'm not saying
directly to them.
No, not to them.
You feel a sense of indebtedness?
I mean, a little bit. My obligation for what I do goes a bit deeper. I kind of feel that because I'm a creative person, or I have a tendency to think in a creative realm, that I have an obligation to be that person within society or within my family structure or with whatever I'm contributing towards, that I can bring maybe some imagination or creativity to it. That's what I would feel is my obligation, not almost, you know, obligations to people as they have,
right.
you know, have
but,
a standard I need to live up to.
But it's interesting that you actually draw a distinction from the actions that you've received from other people as something to be grateful for.
Well, I mean, when I thought about it, I love my job. It almost came like it was almost like a personal pat on the back, which I didn't really look at it. I wasn't appreciating my own personal accomplishments. It was my accomplishments based off the interactions with others that preceded it.
Yeah, I think that's got a real interesting twist to it. And I think that's great that you're delineating there that way. I know we discussed it in general, but I think you kind of taught me this evening a little bit about that, and I appreciate that. I'm appreciative of that. Or should I be grateful that he just... That's another story. Okay. Carol, you've already done your gratitude, so I'm going to keep the roundtable discussion going. And I'm going to go to the next key question is, okay, what does admirable friendship mean to you all? Anybody want to take a crack at that? Gabby, you're smiling. I know you're new to this.
Well, that's it. That's exactly the point. I am new to this. So for me, I don't know the specifics of an admirable friend. I know the qualities that I'd like to, you know, project to people around me and the qualities that I gravitate to. But to define that, I think I'm still new in this practice to define it.
Well, actually, you're further down the road than you give yourself credit for, because you talked about the qualities. So naivety would say, I'm looking for the total package, an admirable friend. But because you've said the qualities that you're trying to build, that's really the essence of admirable friendship, that we're not looking for the total package in each other. We're looking for the qualities we display that we can learn from each other.
Because if we look for the total package, that's a really high bar for somebody to attain.
Yeah, that's what you look to religion for. That's kind of Jesus Christ and Buddha and, you know,
yeah,
those type of
qualities.
The ideal. In everyday life, we're looking for those qualities that we can relate to. So I think she's got it nailed. And in particular, we're trying to identify these 10 qualities, put a name to them, describe what they are, and see if we can't associate with those that illuminate those and inspire us to develop those in ourselves. AJ, you got a take on admirable friendship, what it means to you?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see the aspect of having someone on the same path as you, or in the same goal of developing yourself. I like to also think of it as almost a forum that you can create when you're in conversation with somebody to get on almost on a deeper level, where, you know, you're actually sharing and learning, other than kind of just going back and forth with likes and dislikes, which I find a lot in, you know, our normal conversations with people, you know, probably the 90% of my conversations in a day, if not more than that, is more sharing of likes and dislikes, and it's more...
Well, how do you feel about hot dogs and donuts?
Yeah, it's commentary. Did you see their news today? Something along those lines.
So it's a deeper conversation to you.
Right, where you're sharing and learning. Because we can have deeper conversations, but I think where if someone can ideally, if both parties can leave a conversation with feeling that they shared and learned something, then I would look at that as a good, admirable friendship.
Now, are we learning skills as it relates to work, or do you look at it as mind qualities that are being built?
I guess it depends on how deep you want to look at it. I mean, I could find something deeper in somebody sharing something maybe as mundane as, you know, how much work they did over the weekend. You know, I may look at, you know, the persistence that they showed or different challenges they may overcome. So I think it's really how I translate their experiences and how I learn from them. I guess I can't really speak to them.
That's great.
Now, you know, Gabby was talking about qualities that she sees in admirable friends. You know, she knows what qualities she wants to see. And AJ brought up something before the show about complementary qualities. And so I was going to ask Gabby, do you think that's, is that a consideration too? That you
yes.
look for somebody that maybe have qualities that you aspire to?
Aspire to, or, you know, that you can learn from, like AJ said, just, you know, someone that you gravitate to that you're missing, like filling in the blanks, like you said earlier today. You know, you don't want someone exactly like you. You know, that's boring.
Yeah, that would be boring. So, I mean, because if you had qualities, like you said, that you can aspire to, it's almost exciting. You want to share the same space with them. You look forward to seeing them because you know that you're going to, as AJ said, learn something. When the conversation comes, you know that it's a sharing, learning.
I think there's also a sense of humility when you can look at yourself as not the complete package and then try to find someone that fits the bill or something that you aspire to in a different category.
Mm. That's pretty interesting too.
Carol, do you have anything to add on your personal take on admirable friendship, what it means to you? I mean, you've gone through the show enough, so I think everybody's got your take.
I can only echo what Gabby said is finding qualities. It doesn't have to be the total package, but it has to be the qualities that I aspire to, as well as something that I have to share as of a quality that maybe they have as a weakness, so that we're kind of constantly, we're a dynamic group. You know, we're constantly trading and giving and sharing and evolving. You know, they have it sometimes, I get it the next time. It's a back and forth, give and take.
We got a couple minutes here before the break, and I just want to, before we leave the admirable friendship quality, I'd like to throw out a question regarding your ability to choose admirable friends. Are you all actively making that choice of who you associate with today? And what does that look like to you in your world?
That's a good question.
It is a good question. I struggle with that a lot.
Yeah, I don't have many interactions with people. So I think that the few interactions that I do have in my day, I do find myself looking for those qualities, those admirable qualities. And I think it's just by sheer number. You know, if I was meeting with 100 people a day, I might be spread thin as much as I can dedicate to what that person brings. And
I'll tell you what, let me phrase it the other way. Do you find yourself distancing yourself from unadmirable people who display unadmirable qualities?
I do.
You do?
Yes.
Now, give me some of that.
I
left. Only give your first name.
I left a whole job because of it.
Cool.
I did. I, you know, my values.
Yeah.
You know, and belief is one of my core values, and it's a very strong value. And
you know, family is number one.
And family is number one. And I like to associate, or, you know, I seek out people that have...
So a broken family or someone who doesn't value family?
No, not necessarily that. I just think, like you said, you distance yourself from people that don't have your admirable qualities. I thought in my in my view of where I am right now in my life, a lot of unethical practices. And because I saw ethical practices around me, I needed to remove myself from that.
You actually changed your job?
Yeah.
No kidding. That's great. I'm proud of you. For
because I, you can't stand by. You know, you bring it up, you notify who you need to notify, but you also can't be in that environment. You know, sometimes like a toxic environment with toxic people constantly. When you're in that environment 8 to 10 hours a day, you know, you don't want none of that to rub off on you.
But you knew your capacity. You knew what you could handle and what you couldn't handle. And you actually changed your job as a result.
I did.
That's powerful stuff. Interesting. How about you, AJ? Do you deal with actively saying no to people that display unadmirable qualities that could negatively influence your behavior?
I do, but I think somehow I justify it to myself in a selfish regard. Like, I've only got X amount of time during my day to dedicate to social or my friends or my family. And I guess because of some sort of value I associate with that time, that I'm very quick to judge who occupies that time and who doesn't.
So is that judgment based on admirability, or is it based upon... What is the deciding factor?
I would say admirability. I would like to think that my small group of friends were chosen and remain that way because of admirable qualities that I've seen with them over a lot amount of time. Only now am I seeing labels that, you know, we can associate with that person, but they seem to be characteristics that are a commonality with the handful of friends I do have.
Interesting. And how about you, Karen?
Yeah, I struggle with this. I kind of go back and forth between setting the bar really high of what I want an admirable friend to be, like my ideal kind of thing. And then I kind of go to the other direction and say, well, I know what I don't want. Kind of. I'm always going on that either or dichotomy there with the...
So it's a struggle for you. It's not
it
an
is.
Easy choice.
It's been a constant struggle for me.
Yeah. And see, I don't hear that in your voice as much. Gabby, in your case, you knew what you wanted and you said no. This is somebody I don't wish to hang out with. Carol, I guess with your compassionate heart, you find it a little bit... Either you set the bar so high, you set a standard on people that's so high that nobody meets that standard, and you kind of give up on it.
Right.
Or you basically just make do with what's around you as best you can.
Yes.
That's great. And this is what I want our listening audience to hear, is the different way that we deal with this. That's really, really interesting. But let's take a break, and we'll be right back, and we'll get right into the subject matter. But
Admirable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.
We're back. And
Carol, what part of that thing do you like the best when
I love it when Serena says what? What when we do it? I can't help it, she cracks me up.
When we do it.
I love her voice. I could listen to her all day.
Okay. Next question of the group is, we know we have 10 ideal mind qualities, and
That's the format.
Mm-hmm.
Which one in particular is on the front burner for you all right now? Before we get into Goodwill and Hostility, and it could be Goodwill and Hostility if that's what we struck it lucky with on this show, but which of the 10?
Well, for me, it's Determination. I've really zeroed in on that this past week.
That's the first step.
Yeah. Well,
yep.
I guess nothing like taking the first step.
Yeah.
But I really have zeroed in on that this week. I don't know, should I elaborate on what parts of what I'm trying to, the three things I'm trying to work on? Or
sure.
So I'm determined. I have a vow. I'm taking a vow, and I've got a determination to start with a physical regimen.
Okay.
That's not necessarily in no particular order, but as far as running and working out and just overall physical health. The next one is eating more of a dietary health, because I feel that goes hand in glove with the physical thing, and also my meditating practice. I'm more determined to up the ante on that one.
That's
so
3 points.
I've really been just really focused on that over the last week.
Good. AJ or Gabby, want to weigh in on what?
Mine's persistence. I think it's something I've been trying to work on for a while, maybe not labeling it as persistence, but you know, I've always found that I can start very strong, whether it's on a project or an endeavor, and pretty soon the nice glossy coat gets worn off rather quickly and it becomes almost drudgerous, and I feel like I have to drag it through the final the finish line.
So the opposite of persistence is apathy on that mind quality. So are you fighting apathy?
I don't know. I mean, if it's a situation where I can feel the fire of the deadline as it relates to work, I find that I have a little bit more focus and my persistence kind of wins out. It's when things have a more of a long-term plan to them, where it's taking a chip, a piece a day. I think that's where I kind of fall short, or where I feel I could improve.
Okay. Yeah.
Mine is also persistence, but as you know, our family is very special. We have a blended family. So as you know, with our children, you know, we have to be persistent in our rules and our home life and, you know, our values with our children, because they leave, you know, for weekends and things like that, and then they come back and it's like reprogramming all over again. So that's a constant burner for me, that for myself and my family is constant. It's you have to, you know, when they were tiny, when they were a lot smaller as toddlers, you know, and they would come back and I would say, okay, stand outside and shake off your feathers, you know, and it was kind of, they did it in a more of a physical way. Okay, shake it all off. You're coming in, and it's kind of like, okay, you're coming through the door. So now you know what it is here. But as they're getting older now, as a teenager, you know, and a 10-year-old preteen, you know, you can't have them shake off the feathers anymore.
Right, right.
It's a little bit more complicated. So
it does get challenging.
It gets very challenging, and that's my struggle.
So do you have two for persistence and care for determination? Is there any admirable friend that you have that displays those qualities at all that you can think of that you look at and see and learn from?
Well, I think you're rather persistent.
Persistent?
Yeah. I see that, you know, you definitely take everything from start to finish, and I think that's a quality, at least I see in you, that I admire.
Interesting. Anybody else? Okay, let's talk. Let's get right into the emotional side of today's topic, and hostility.
Well, first of all, I want to say that it's funny. You know, I kind of just kind of chuckle inside, but now I'm just like, hostility. Everybody can just like go whoom. You know, like it's like a magnet. Like, you know, I think everybody can conjure up hostility and.
Oh yeah, well that's why I'm gonna try to frame it a little bit, Carol. You gotta give me a chance.
Oh, go ahead,
okay.
Frame it.
So what I'm gonna try to do is I'm gonna throw out some aspects of I'd like you to talk us through what hostility means to you. How do you recognize it, perhaps? Are there degrees of this emotion? You know, hostility is a strong emotion.
It is.
Are there degrees of hostility for you during the day? And of course, talk in first person if you can. And what words do you use to describe these degrees? And in particular, what kind of external events and what kind of internal events trigger that hostile feeling? Okay, throw those all out. Who wants to take a crack at it?
How about it? Anybody?
Well, I guess I'll go. I looked at hostility. I mean, first when I look at the word hostility, it seems a bit extreme. You know, that seems like I'm beating down doors, or which I don't go into that area or that shade of hostility. I'm not saying I haven't before, but it's very rare that it ever gets to that point or escalates.
Right.
Hostility with me, I kind of viewed more inwardly when I looked at hostility, like hostility that I would show towards myself, which I think is a little bit different than looking at hostility towards others. Hostility towards myself, I look at it as frustration, you know, almost literally beating yourself up over something for various reasons. I see myself entering that realm more of hostility during my day than I do showing it outwardly. I feel so.
So you reserve it for yourself?
Apparently I do. Yeah, I said, well,
the trigger
for myself.
You said you're your own worst enemy, is what you're saying.
No one can beat you up
like yourself.
Yeah, I definitely think it's, you know, my disjointment or the disjointment from my expectations and the reality as it is.
Do you consider yourself a perfectionist?
I guess I'm coming to terms better with things not being, you know, not everything I go into has to be my Sistine Chapel. I'm finding a way to come to terms with that. You know, it's very, very much, I think, very much a 100% or nothing type. And to give myself a break in that regard. So I guess when I was looking and reflecting upon hostility and looking at my day and how that shows itself within me, I would say mostly it's within myself.
Okay.
Gabby, do you want to go next?
I agree with AJ. I think I am my worst enemy. I'll be honest. I think I am. I think, you know, you set bars for yourself and expectations for yourself. Not only, you know, he does it as an artist. You know, I do it as, you know, balancing your work-life balance. You know, coming, you know, from a home where both parents work, and you have that expectation as a mother that, you know, you can work, you know, 50 hours a week, but you still have to do your mom duties. You know, those.
It's a hard bar, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a hard bar to balance. And I think, like you said, you bring it inward because you feel you're not meeting that expectation all of the time. But like you said, I'm coming to grips with, it's okay. You know, things don't get done, and it's okay if it goes, you know, and if we didn't reach this, okay, let's set a different goal, or let's do something else. And that's changed a lot in the past couple of months.
It's liberating.
It is.
And empowering at the same time. It's like, you know what? I can let it go, and the world's not going to end, and I'm still okay.
Absolutely. And I'm learning to let go.
Carol, how soon do you...
Hostility, I thought of two words that just kind of popped up. It's feelings of, it manifests in aggravation, number one, and resentment. Those were the two words that popped into mind when we talked about hostility.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Talk a little more about those two.
Well, you know, I think you posted a...
give me an example without using a name.
Well, I mean, it's, I don't know. We could go on and on and on. It's just, you know. But what I wanted to say about the resentment part was you posted something on the, I think it was the Fort Worth Meditation, about holding a grudge. And you said holding a grudge is like taking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Yeah.
It's like, that is so true. I could not believe it. But then again, when I reflect back on when I felt resentful, it was my problem with expectation versus reality. I expected it to be one way, And then it didn't turn out that way. And then the two worlds collided. And then the resentment built in. Now, depending on how much the two worlds collided was how long the resentment lasted.
I see.
You know, how much value I put on that.
Now, this resentment is internal to you, isn't it? Because I don't see this on a daily basis.
Pardon me?
I don't see this.
No. Oh, are you kidding me? It's like the duck on the water. You don't even know how fast the feet are going. You know, it's just gliding along. Oh, I just suck it all up and just keep it all in. Mm-hmm. Oh, I've mastered that one.
So, you're the calming force, and AJ and Gabby are little hotheads at some time, right? And it's amazing how you guys are directing your hostility inwardly, and yours is a little bit more externally. Mm-hmm. Versus being tough on yourself, it's like the things
yeah.
that people bother you.
You know, I don't doubt that. You know, my personally aimed hostility overflows and then, you know, starts affecting other people or my interactions with other people.
No, it's where it starts, though.
That's right. That's right. And then, you know, it may show itself in me being moody or how I approach something in my environment or people.
Okay.
So, you know, maybe it begins internally, but I can see it quite easily, you know, if not skillfully dealt with, overflowing to other aspects of my life.
Yeah. But again, we're going to start this emotion with try to get to its origin as much as we can in your own experience. And what I hear you, AJ and Gabby, saying is that aggravating feeling starts with not meeting your own expectations. Carol, yours is more like...
it has to do with the expectation. It does.
The expectation of someone else.
The other person won't know that I'm feeling resentful.
No, I don't exhibit it. I'm just saying that your hostility begins with someone else not meeting your expectation.
What my perception of them not meeting my
expectation. Right.
I've set this expectation up. I've kind of created this construct that says this is what I...
But, I mean, to boil it all down, who you're mad at is
I should be mad at myself for setting up a...
Well, that's a secondary emotion. When it first starts with you, someone is not meeting your expectation.
Yes.
You're not meeting your own expectation, AJ and Gabby. You aren't. It doesn't matter where it starts, because we're going to get to how do we deal with this.
Got it.
Right?
I see what you're saying.
I just want people to be able to relate. So now, what's it feel like to you all? How do you sense this happening in your experiences?
If in the moments that I'm quiet, when it builds up, I have a lot of tension. Whether it's my fists, my shoulders, my neck, my back, I can feel almost a gripping. As it initially starts, you know, what it escalates from that. I mean, I've had it, if I'm skillful enough, sometimes I can truncate it or give myself a pass when I feel it building up. And sometimes that helps. It depends obviously upon the severity of how I'm taking everything. But, you know, in more extreme cases, it can feel like, soda in the head followed by just kind of that seeing red effect where, you know, that is all consuming. Mm-hmm. And when I get in those modes, I'm neither productive with dealing with it or, I get so overwhelmed by it that I almost just kind of cancel myself out. I sit in this kind of neutral state.
But it's a bodily feeling that you have.
Right.
It's not that you're aware of a bunch of negative thoughts you're having towards yourself. You feel physically
right.
Tension. How about you, Gab? Is it physical or is it mental?
It's both. I do get a lot of tension and you know, your mind is constantly racing also, but I do find myself that, like you said, how it overflows and projects to others, I isolate myself.
So you start having this conversation to yourself.
Mm-hmm. But I isolate myself.
Yeah.
Like, I withdraw.
So you're aware that you don't want to share that hostility mm-hmm. outwardly.
And I withdraw. I just become recluse. I deal with myself, or I'm just on my phone, and I just go to my room, and, you know, I remove myself.
Carol, how's it manifest with you?
I think it's my breathing. I feel it in like almost like a shallow breathing kind of thing, or tingly between my shoulder blades. I find that those two spots, those two things.
Interesting. Okay, so we've got a causation being whether it be external or internal, and each one of your experiences being a little bit different. We've got a sensation. Carol and AJ, it sounds like yours is more physical, and Gabby, yours is a combination of physical and mental. All right, now tell me what you do. Where's the fix for all of you? How do you go about it? Do you weave in goodwill right now? I mean, you don't have to, because we're learning goodwill here, okay? And goodwill can be preventative medicine. You can start out your day, as I said, with goodwill that could kind of hedge you out of the ill will category during the day. Or you can deal with it as an antidote, or you could not deal with it at all. But give me whatever you do. How do you get rid of this thing?
I guess the most goodwill in my situation I could really show is to myself in a regard, you know. Perhaps if I was more centered or focused more on my sitting practice, I would allow myself to be more...
But that's what you want to do. Right. How are you dealing with it today?
Well, I am sitting.
You are sitting?
Yeah,
okay.
I guess
so
in that
vein.
So
is it lessening? Is it working? Do you see the benefit of meditating and helping you?
I see my ability to feel the triggers as my hostility escalates. Then I'm able to see it in almost in a slower fashion instead of simply just reacting out of an autopilot. Now, I'm not completely able to catch it every single time and truncate my hostility in every regard, but I have found that by sitting, I at least can point things out or slow down these moments that they're happening. And I'm doing this as an end result to be more skillful in those moments.
Well, you haven't been meditating your whole life. Right.
Correct.
So do you remember points where, I mean, could the meditating or the sitting and being body awareness help you even recognize the sign of hostility in your body? You said you mentioned a tightness in your...
Right.
Is that helping you actually recognize that sensation, do you think? Or
I mean, it kind of, what I was getting into is it the moments or the buildup into the escalation, I'm able to look at each of those steps along the path.
Ah. So it's not just a rush to hostility. You can see it either growing or diminishing.
Right. And I actually see that interrelate to how healthy my sitting practice is at the time. I know that times that I'm sitting every single day, it's consistent. I'm feel more mindful in those situations than, let's say, a couple of weeks and I'm off the wagon and I'm not sitting. And, you know, something comes across me that gets me hostile.
Hmm. Carol or Gabby, how do you guys deal with your post? Do you let it just surpass, this too shall pass, or do you have ways of thinking about things and dealing with it? You mentioned you isolate yourself. So that's kind of your first mechanism?
Yes.
Then what happens?
Well, I isolate myself, and that's when I notice, you know, things are going really bad. And usually what I do is, you know, my mom isn't here. She's in California.
Yeah.
So I call my mom, every girl does, you know, and she, you know, we talk through it. She's my board.
It's your admirable friend right there. Carol, your mechanism when you feel this hostility?
Well, I couldn't agree with AJ more. It's directly related to my sitting practice. On when I'm clicking along and I'm stringing along some great days of sitting and the practice is going well, I find that, as AJ said, things slow down so that I can see it or realize the expectation is not realistic enough, or I catch it. Like you said, when you fall off the wagon, then things are happening too quickly, you know, one right after the other, and it's just not happening. So I agree with him on that respect. Whereas before the practice, I think I would use the logic theory. Like, I'd try to be very logical about it all and try to, you know.
What's that look like?
Reason.
Reason your way through that emotion.
Pardon me?
Reason your way through the emotion?
Yeah. You know, just kind of, maybe kind of in denial, I think, is mostly what it is.
Okay, so in the last couple of minutes before we close up the show, let's look at how we could use goodwill to help us with this hostility. You both mentioned sitting practice. Mm-hmm. Do you see how if you brought goodwill, wishing goodwill into your sitting practice, In particular, I'm going to say to AJ and Gabby, your goodwill would be directed towards yourselves. You've got to start there fundamentally. Carol, you have less problem with yourself. Your goodwill would have to start working its way from you towards the outer world, because that's where it's starting, right?
So, right, but I don't know. Maybe it should be directed towards me. Maybe there's sort of like that.
Well, it's not exclusively that way. No.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Right. But what I'm saying in particular, well, here I am making suggestions as to what you need to do. Do you guys see the goodwill as a potential antidote for this situation?
No, absolutely.
Yeah, I do.
Not just sitting and hoping that my quiet mind. I mean,
well,
obviously
it's an active thing.
You know, I got off the hook here because it looks like I'm asking all the questions and I don't feel hostility, but I'm just like you all. I feel the same thing during the day. And I run into situations like that, but I've actually used goodwill and seen its benefits beyond the sitting practice, because it gets me preventing myself from that. It gets me preventing myself from that negative thoughts about myself. I feel better about myself when I wish myself well, is what I'm saying. Does that make any sense to you?
Yes.
Seems like an appropriate anecdote.
But it's a nice habit. I mean, if it's a habitual thing.
Yeah, it didn't come easy. You have to work at it, you know.
I mean, so I could only see it as having benefits down, you know, as a behavioral thing.
Well, we really need to wind it up. But this is great. You know, you guys, I really am grateful for all of you here. Your actions are just really help. I know they help our listeners.
Hi.
Just an excellent conversation. I appreciate you all sharing what you have shared tonight.
It was wonderful having us all together.
So they know we're all in it together, right?
Thank you.
And we are.
Me.
Thank you.
And we are.
Thank you for coming. I appreciate it very much. And to all our admirable friends, we will see you next week.
Yes. Thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Bye-bye.
Admirable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.